You don't have a dozen women carrying champagne out to you? You have your kegerator instead?
Well, my wife gave me a kiss goodnight.
Hey there, you're listening to the Trailer Junkies podcast.
All right, hey, Ted.
Hey, Jim.
So here we are again, meeting for actually our first review for the movie Molly's Game. It says Molly's Game 2017, but I believe it's supposed to come out sometime beginning of January.
January is the wide release, early in January, but it does have a Academy release, so it releases December for that. Because it's our first trailer, one of the reasons I chose it to be the first one, it's chocked full of your trailer tropes from your all the great marketing stuff that I love. Near and dear to my heart, right from the start, the legacy cell with all of the Aaron Sorkin written films from Few Good Men to West Wing. Aaron Sorkin wrote all of that stuff.
Aaron Sorkin did all those? Wow. Yeah, I guess I knew that. But yeah, so Molly's Game, it's a true story, you know, who knew? But about Molly Bloom, Olympic class skier who ran the world's most exclusive high stakes poker game for a decade before being arrested by the FBI. So why don't we just jump into the trailer and we'll see what's going on here. It looks like it starts off, based on the first shot of the trailer, it tells us it's taking place in New York City. All right. And the other thing that I love about this trailer is that she starts off, "I'm Molly Bloom. Do you know about me?" As if she's asking the audience. And I'll tell you, I know nothing about her.
I knew nothing about her before this either, so it was very nice, stark opening to a trailer over black, just Molly Bloom trying to explain to Idris Elba, who we don't know who he is at the beginning of the trailer either, but we've kind of established their relationship as the basis of this story of the trailer, which is kind of important to give the audience of the trailer something to hold on to that they can go back to and kind of hold on to as their thread throughout.
Right, within 10 seconds, it's already, here's a relationship, there's a poker game, it's in New York City, and, well, obviously she's Molly Bloom, and she's asking if we know her. And
it kind of goes through, she gives her little spiel to Idris Elba, but her spiel to him is not everything it's cracked up to be, I guess. We're meant to believe that this is her best foot forward for her new friend who she's just meeting and we're just meeting. So it's a great place for the audience to be let into the story. But it's not the case.
Well, what I don't understand, though, is it starts off and she is sitting there in his, well, I guess, you know, spoiler alert, he's her attorney, but that doesn't really, I mean, you can just read that or see it and you kind of figure that out. But
yeah, I think the nice thing about us reviewing trailers is there's no real spoilers, because if it's in a trailer, by definition, I think it's not part of a spoiler.
Well, that's true. But, you know, the thing about it, though, is you can't know where in the movie this scene takes place, because he says, well, she's seeking his legal counsel and all of a sudden, there they are, you know, and she has her, he has her book. And he's saying, like, "Oh, yeah, I know who you are. I bought your book." And it's like, well, how does that work? Like, the story hasn't even taken place yet.
Yeah, and even halfway through, we're trying to figure out their relationship. And then we see another guy who's possibly her accountant, maybe her lawyer, maybe a different kind of lawyer for her. And they exchange some Sorkin quips back and forth.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell you what a Sorkin quip is. I mean, I guess if I've watched enough of his movies. However, now that I'm sensitized to him, I'll probably see them everywhere when I watch his movies. But, you know, the thing that I guess my biggest gripe with trailers as a whole is that when you watch trailers, you never have a sense of where the time is, and there's jump cuts everywhere. I mean, the beginning to the end, to the beginning before the beginning, to the middle. I mean, you don't even know where you're at in the movie.
No, I think it's not the job of the trailer to be true to the story of the film. So a trailer is just a 2-minute representation of what the movie has to offer you in a longer format. So it's going to jump all over the place. It's going to keep you on the edge of your seat. It needs to be able to be viewed multiple times. It's going to have all of these stark black cards with big, bold copy on it and just hitting you in the face with most electrifying and all of the different modifiers you could throw at any kind of copy. But in the end, it's all about the pacing, the score, and whether it's going to pull you back in to watch something similar to this for a couple of hours.
You know, and the thing that I like about this trailer, though, I shouldn't say the trailer in the aesthetic sense, but maybe the trailer more in the storytelling, is that right in the beginning, I mean, you're within 15 seconds or so of the trailer, and all of a sudden, I mean, big money rolls, expensive cigars, you're looking at glasses of what you would anticipate to be the finest scotch, chips, cards, like, I mean, the whole thing. And when you look at that kind of stuff, I mean, my feeling is that this is going to be a high stakes, high roller, high powered game where the biggest of the biggest, whether it's, you know, tech billionaires, film star, you know, whatever, I don't know who it is. I mean, I'm not going to get into where it goes from here, but yeah, I mean, it's just, I like the way it kind of shows this is all about the sins of people and all the money they have, and we're going to get caught.
But Molly's the one taking the fall. Jessica Chastain is the one who's trying to keep her own code of ethics through this all. And no matter who she talks to, she's got her own angle. And she's always playing her own angle, which is an interesting part of the movie and an interesting part of Aaron Sorkin character.
You know, and the cool thing about it is as the trailer moves forward, you realize that in her book, you're assuming in her book, and I'd like to get the book actually, it looks pretty cool. But in her book, she changes the names to protect the innocent, because the way this movie or the way this trailer implies with the movie is that there is a huge name list that's not being named.
Yeah, and if she's protecting the innocent, no one's innocent. So that's a lie in and of itself.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe it's not necessarily to protect the innocent, but here's the question I have, though. Okay, you know, I grew up playing sports, and she's a skier. She is at the Olympic level, and, you know, I've always been awful, but my talents and prowess aside, or lack thereof, but the thing about it, though, is we've all had poker games, and we've all played cards, or we've all went to Vegas, or we did what we did. But how is it that somebody who is a good skier, or I guess an Olympic skier, better than good, all of a sudden, there she is running like the greatest poker game like on the planet, getting the mob, the Russian mob for all mobs, but everybody's involved in this thing. I mean, how does that happen?
Yeah, what's that entry point? That's it. That's interesting.
Like one night you're having like cards around the table playing poor man's poker, where once you lose all your quarters, you get to play for free until you win a quarterback. And next thing you know, you're the biggest poker game on, you know, in New York City.
You're playing with Clooney and Zuckerberg and you don't know how it happened.
So the other thing I want to mention too, though, is the coloring. So when you get to about 34 seconds into the trailer, the colors go black background, yellow lettering. I mean, is that Trailer Junkies podcast right there or what?
Theirs is a little more gold.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is there's no copyright infringements on our podcast, right?
No.
The incredible thing, though, I find that is this is a true story. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Where do you get these stories, you know? Like I said, I may wind up picking up this book somewhere, and I don't even know what was published. I guess I can look that up. Yeah, and we're here to review the trailer, not the book.
It's definitely out there. Hey, if a trailer can sell a book, that's bonus.
But yeah, right around the 45-second mark, it says, you know, the movie's from director Aaron Sorkin. And, you know, the funny thing is I have no clue all that he's done until they showed me in this trailer. Man, that guy's done a lot of good movies.
You need him on that wall.
You want me on that wall.
You can't handle all the Aaron Sorkin movies that you can. So I think that's the interesting thing to me. When I talk about Aaron Sorkin, the thing that makes me excited is The fact that he doesn't write good guys and bad guys. Everyone has their own angle, and everyone's always angling for themselves. Jack and A Few Good Men, he's not a bad guy. He's just the guy you need doing the thing you need him to do.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Jessica Chastain here. She's the girl running the game for herself.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. I mean, being on that wall isn't, how should I put it? Like, it's not that it's good or it's bad. It just is. And somebody has to be there, and the government put him there to do that job. And his job was to make sure that Guantanamo stayed safe. And unfortunately, Jack went down for that, you know. But, you know, and with her, like you said, I mean, her job isn't, I mean, I guess gambling when it's not sanctioned by the government is illegal. But who makes those rules, right?
That's why she operates on her own rules.
Well, and that's exactly what I was getting at is, yeah, I mean, she's just running the game because she's probably looking for the cash. And where do the incentives lie? Looking at some of the movies that Aaron Sorkin's done, you know, I mean, The Social Network, I mean, Academy Award-winning movie, Steve Jobs, Moneyball, A Few Good Men. I mean, we're looking at some serious, well, maybe, I don't know, I consider serious, I guess, but some serious legacy marketing. You know, maybe you could talk a little bit about that. I mean, I don't really know.
Yeah, so every time you open up a trailer, you want to have the audience that it's intended to be aimed at ready and upfront with who needs to see this film. So if you're a fan of those movies, whether you know who Aaron Sorkin is or not, it wants to hook you and get you excited about this movie for this reason.
It's the same aesthetics, similar to maybe how Stanley Kubrick did things, you know, like you always knew when you were watching a Stanley Kubrick movie, you know, because his films were about how our creations destroyed ourselves. Whereas Sorkin, from what you were saying, is about how we're not really bad people. We're just doing the job we're tasked with.
Yeah, everyone has their own code of ethics. And
code of ethics, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, how you roll through your life with your code is your way. And if you can envision enough of a character's code, then anything they do within that code is acceptable, and it makes for a more interesting, more dynamic play, you know, as you have Tom Cruise searching for the truth.
You can't handle the truth!
Wait, he's searching for the... You mean with Scientology, or... Oh, boy, maybe I shouldn't have said that, huh?
We're too close to L.A.
Right. Question I have, though, is in the trailer it says, you know, this fall. Well, clearly we're entering winter. It's December when we're publishing, and the movie isn't out yet, and I think it's going to be out like in January or so. I mean, you think that's a big deal, like in the marketing side of things?
No, I think that's fine. I mean, this probably came out a couple months ago, and it's really the first trailer is aimed at that first audience, so it's aimed at the audience that's going to see it in December anyway.
Getting into the objectification of women side of things, you know. So when we look at the movie and some of the scenes in here and some of the jump cuts, it's almost as if, you know, it's objectifying her as, like, you know, sexy. I mean, I'm not saying she's not, but I mean, it's like, I don't know. Is that a good play, or what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a high class, high rolling space. So everybody seems to be in that caliber, dressed up, ready to go out. So it's not I don't think it's outside of the norm.
Right. So in other words, if I walked into the room the way I kind of carry myself, they'd be, you know, they would think like, who on earth is this dude?
Oh, they would think you were rolling, because to walk in for you and I would be amazing. You know, we couldn't pull it off. So we'd have to be billionaires to even get in there. So,
well, sure, but what I'm saying, though, is, like, you know, you're gonna walk in, especially as a woman, you know, as it is, unfortunately, but it's like either you're sexy or you don't belong, you know, because there's so much money at stake that they can afford the most expensive of everything, you know, to include women, I guess. You know, in my opinion, I think it needs to be said because it kind of shows that out there in the objectifying sense of things and in today's climate, especially, you know, I certainly don't want to talk politics, but, you know, with all of the things that have been going on with everybody, like, using their power over women, you know, in the film industry and in Congress and all this kind of stuff, you know, I think it kind of speaks to that a little bit, you know, and maybe this movie's a little bit ahead. I mean, I don't think people are overly surprised at what we're learning, but, you know, with what's been going on in the news lately, but I think this movie might be a little bit ahead of its time, or maybe they just know what goes on in the world and they just kind of figured, well, here's how it works, you know, and news be damned. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's right on time. It's like she's in charge, she's in control, and she's, you know, losing control over the...
Well, that's true. Who holds the power, right?
Right. She holds the game. It's her game. She possesses it.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and I'm just curious what your opinion is. I mean, we kind of don't know who these characters are. Michael Cera, what do you think his character, his role is? I mean, he seems to be fairly prominent within this trailer.
Yeah. I mean, he's all over the place. He's probably one of our key marks. And his relationship with Molly feels like it's one of the key plot points of the film. So,
and I don't know if this is the director's intention, but it seems as though, you know, like if my assumptions are correct, Michael Cera would be like sort of a tech billionaire kind of a guy, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg.
Totally.
Yeah. And she's protecting the names, right? I don't know. Mark Zuckerberg is kind of, you know, a little nerdy to be in this stuff, but who knows? I mean, he has a ton of money, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, is he going to say that Michael Cera is the tech billionaire and then, you know, well, although I don't even know what Kevin Costner's role is. They don't really give that.
I'm just the postman.
Well, he's definitely, regardless of whether you know exactly what he is, he comes off as the mentor who she definitely trusts. I think, you know, a little searching, you can tell it's her dad.
Oh, you're thinking dad, huh? I was thinking more like ski coach or something.
Yeah, probably both.
You know, the one thing I love about this is when the guy says how he was running the most decadent man cave between, you know, L.A. and New York. And here I am sitting in my garage recording this in my, like, makeshift studio in my own personal decadent man cave, you know? I mean, I'm just like, and you're watching this movie with, like, all these, like, billionaires and beautiful women and, like, expensive champagnes and scotches, and I'm thinking...
You don't have a dozen women carrying champagne out to you? You have your kegerator instead?
Well, my wife gave me a kiss goodnight, you know, tonight, but I mean, you know, I guess that's, you know, 1,000 times better, but, and hey, honey, I hope you're listening. But yeah, it's just incredible, like my kegerator. But no, it's just incredible how, like, there's so much money out there with how these things just happen. I guess it goes back to how do you get into this game and how do you run this thing? Yeah, the other thing too I wanted to talk about was the aesthetics of it. You know, the color, it seems to be very bright.
Yeah.
It's not muted, you know, you don't see the muted tones that you might see in other movies. It seems to be very natural in color, you know, rather than it's color corrected to appear as like the Coen brothers or something. And depending on the movie you're looking at, they have these, like, it's just muted in it to kind of create that drama.
It's not overly stylized.
Stylized. There you go. See, I knew you'd have the inside name of it.
Yeah. And I definitely think it has this pace to it that is just a trailer only kind of pace where you're shuffling cards, you have the staccato, fast moving, everything, the chips, you can hear the money rolling.
Right.
And
right.
It just creates this driving speed, and the pace of the whole thing just keeps driving all the way through. And even when the cards come up, it's driving home. Here are the movies he's done. And when it takes the breaks, when it takes its time and gives moment to Idris to hang on a scene with him without him saying anything, it makes all that so much more impactful.
At a minute 47 of the trailer, the trailer is 2 minutes 29 seconds, but at a minute 47 of the trailer, they show like a purse that's full of cash. Then, you know, dumping, I don't know, what is it? Like, yeah, the jewels and all this stuff. You know, I'm just like, okay, wait, I thought it was a poker game. And now there's like jewels. And then later on, they show like gunplay. I mean, where does this like begin and end, you know?
Jewels and necklaces and... And I think one of my favorite lines in this is when she's telling her dad or Kevin Costner she's about to get indicted in federal court, and he's like, nobody's perfect. So he's willing to look the other way for his daughter or whatever she is to him.
In a sense, my love is unconditional. Take your lumps, do your time. When you come back, I'm still your dad, coach, whatever he is, that, you know, that we don't really know at the point. I mean, I guess we can read a lot about it and find out, but the point of that I'm trying to get at is like, well, what's going on here in the trailer, and what does the viewer see and know about it?
So I guess we have some basic questions that we can answer. We can ask each other, like, well, I think we agree that the aesthetic and the pacing of this is fun and not overly stylized, so it's easy to view repeatedly. You can also say that it feels like mentioning all those movies and having all those actors on those cards is a good legacy sell. Like it pulls you in, because even if you don't know who Aaron Sorkin is, you're grabbed by the movies that he's done. And if you like Kevin Costner and you like Idris Elba and you like Jessica Chastain, you're in on this movie, and even Michael Cera to a lesser degree. So it does those things. It grabs the audience, paces itself well for a trailer. What are some of the other high points for you?
Getting to, you know, looking at the characters, I think we're also talking about who are they playing? What is the character that they're playing? And is that person somebody who is typecast? Or is that somebody who is, do they have a wide range of acting ability, and is their acting ability dynamic?
And I think for the core cast that we've seen here, they show their acting chops in this trailer. So I've seen a lot from those three main characters in this trailer. So
oh yeah, you know, and the thing about it too, I think this movie is, well, I know that the trailer, but especially the movie though, I think they're really gunning for the Academy, you know, because when you look at all of the legacy movies that Aaron Sorkin has done, and then later at about the 2 minute mark, they get into Academy Award winning nominee Jessica Chastain, Idris Elba, and then Academy Award winner Kevin Costner, Michael Cera.
So, Jimmy, off of this trailer and off of us talking about it, what do you think? Will you see it?
Quite frankly, I'd probably prefer to read the book. I mean, I'll definitely see it.
It sounds like we've sold a book. You're not seeing it opening weekend.
No. I won't see it opening weekend. You know, for a few reasons. One is a 3 and 4 year old named Michael and Timothy. But you know, the thing is though, I definitely do want to see the movie. What I'm more interested in is the book that they showed, you know, in the beginning of this trailer. And, you know, I mean, you know how it is, how books are, movies. And I have a whole rant I'll do maybe one of these days on books and movies. and my opinions, everybody says,
awesome,
read the book first and blah, blah, blah. I have a whole opinion about that. We'll get into another day. But yeah, no, I definitely will watch it. Not opening weekend. How about yourself?
Same. I have different... Audrey 11 and Bryce 8 that will keep me from watching it anytime soon, but I am interested in it. So I'm interested in all things Aaron Sorkin, but I'll probably end up watching Newsroom on Blu-ray before I watch this again.
Okay. Yeah, to finish out the trailer, it kind of just ends with her in the courtroom. Everybody's going down, you know, she's wiping tears away. You know, it's looking like the whole thing falls apart. You know, you see the gun play, you see like her skiing, and like everything just falls apart. And all of a sudden, there they are, Idris Elba and
Jessica
I'll
Chastain.
Use her character name, you know, Molly. And she's like, I'll tell you everything, but I'm not telling you who.
Because you need her on that ledger book, and you want her on that ledger book, and you can't handle the names.
Right. Right, yeah, exactly. Because when she's not there, you know, like bad things happen.
Bad things happen to good people when she's not on that ledger book.
Exactly. But no, you know, I think overall, it seems this thing's going to have a running in the Academy. What I see is, I mean, there's some awesome actors. I guarantee you their roles are going to be, I mean, they're going to carry out their roles in ways that, you know, are going to just be a testament to their legacy. Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely go watch it.
And it's a new chapter for Aaron Sorkin because it's his directorial debut. So Academy Awards for writing all that stuff. But this is the first time he's directing something. And the second trailer kind of dives deep into that legacy cell of the first time director Aaron Sorkin.
That's true. And it should be mentioned that we are reviewing the first trailer, 2 minutes, 30 seconds of Molly's Game. So with two official trailers, we are doing the trailer number one. Anyway, Ted, yeah, I know we're both probably not going to see it opening weekend. Sounds like we both have an interest in the movie. Yeah, certainly so.
Definitely interested.
No, like I said, I mean, I think the story is, you know, incredible. I mean, more than anything, I want to know how some woman who's this Olympic skier, she probably has been skiing. I mean, I don't know where she grew up or anything. I mean, you know, probably like in Colorado or California or something, Utah. But you have this woman who's this incredible athlete. Somehow she gets roped into running a poker game of all things. And you're looking at what appears to be like billions of dollars with high-powered people. I mean, like, all I want to know is the reason I want to read the book instead of watch the movie. Well, I want to do both, but the reason I want to read the book is I want to know how to get involved with the poker game, figure out where she went wrong, and not make those mistakes.
Oh, we have all new mistakes to make, my friend.
Yeah, and the FBI will be all over us, right? So I don't think so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't really have anything else. How about you?
Nope, I think we covered it. So one of the things I want to do with each one of these trailer reviews is to give it a three-word trailer review. So for Molly's Game, I'd like to think about Sorkin's Big Gamble or Sorkin's All In. That's my three-word review for Molly's Game. Until next week, this is Jim and Ted for Trailer Junkies Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Trailer Junkies Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and keep up with everything at trailerjunkiespodcast.com, where you can find links to show notes, Twitter, and more. And don't forget to subscribe in iTunes, Google Music, or Spotify. Royalty-free music is brought to you by Ben Sound.